Amen. Thank you. Happy Ladies' Day. Happy Mother's Day. I just wanted to start just this morning by, this afternoon, by saying thank you all to you. Appreciate you very much. Before Michael and I were married, I worked at a church in Tennessee, and the church had a lot of retired ministers there. And so I pulled away some of the retired ministers' wives and interviewed them a little bit before we started, before we got married. And I asked them, okay, tell me, what do I need to do? I'd already been on staff for many years as a children's pastor, and I'd always worked in that capacity. And I knew a lot about church work, but I didn't know about being the wife of the guy. So I pull them away, and they tell me, so I got some advice, and I got some good advice. So I'll tell you some of the advice that I got from some of the ladies that I spoke to. One of the ladies did tell me to be unremarkable as you could possibly be, because that's very important in church work, that I would be, not the quietest and not the loudest, not the smartest and not the dumbest. Don't be the best or the worst. And obviously kind of fly under the radar is what she told me. Just kind of be around, but don't be too obvious, you know. And obviously, I've pretty much failed on every account on that aspect right there. Another one, one pastor's wife told me, now you have to guard your home. And I got the essence of what she was saying, but she really meant don't let any of the people into your house. And so if you've ever been to my house on any given weekend, there are so many people in and out of my house. Sometimes I don't even know who was coming and going. So that, and really, I said this in the second service. One time I looked up in my car and I was like, who's that back in the back seat? It was our neighbor kid. I didn't even know she was in the car. So there's always a million kids, and there's always somebody spending the night and passing through on their way to Florida. You know, do you guys get that too? People that are up north and coming through so they crash here at our house. So anyway, we always have a full house, and we always have a lot of activity and a lot of things going on. So I failed on that one as well. and then another great piece of advice I got was encourage your husband a lot, which I try really hard to do that. And then on the other side, then the other part of that was, but never, never tell him what you really think. I fail on that one too. So anyway, not always being, you know, not always succeeding in those little pieces of advice. But we've been married, like you said, 14 years, and we have 4 boys right now. We have 2 biological children, Josiah's 12 and Luke is 10. And then we have 2 beautiful foster kids. They're Eduardo and Joshua, and they'll be with us for quite a while, so you'll see them around. That's right before they ran, Michael and my oldest two ran the Reagan, and then the other two just ran around a lot. Really great to have 4 kids in the house. It's crazy and wild and fun and loud, and I like it. So thank you. I just wanted to tell you, thank you so much for letting me be who God made me to be. I love children. I love children's ministry. I've been doing it since I was 19 years old, and I'm really old now. So I really love it. I love doing that, and I thank you that there's a lot of times people will say, hey, I didn't know you were the pastor's wife. You guys don't go together. You're really loud, and he's so good, you know. So it's true, he is. He really is. But we do go together, and it's been a great ride, and I am so thankful that God I feel like He just divinely placed us in this congregation so that I didn't have to worry about some of the advice that I was given. I don't have to worry. I just know that you guys have always let me just be me and the way God made me and designed me and the way he uses me. And I'm just so thankful that I can do that the way that I'm designed to do that here at Mountain West. And thank you for doing life with me. I can't imagine any other great, amazing adventure than this. Thank you. Thank you. So this morning I wanted to share it with you, because I feel like over these last 7 years, I've spent a lot of time with a lot of the ladies. I don't really feel like God has called me and equipped me to be just super passionate about, you know, gathering women and encouraging women. And it's not that I don't want to do that, but I feel like God does that more through me, like on a one-on-one basis, through coffee and at my kitchen table and at Starbucks and you know, any random restaurant that you choose, I'd be happy to go. And then, you know, just being able to just do life with ladies on an individual basis. And I've learned so many things through so many of you women here. Don't worry if you've talked to me over coffee. I'm not going to tell your stuff this morning. Don't panic or anything. But I am listening to you, and I hear your stories, and I hear your hurts. I hear your excitement and your rejoicing. I really do know and understand the value of a strong group of women here at Mountain West and in my life personally. So today I just want to talk a little bit about a woman in the Bible. And it's a little story inside of a giant story of the book in the book of Joshua. So this historical account begins in the book of Joshua in chapter 1. And Moses is dead and Joshua is made the leader. And so his call and his job and his anointing and his commission is to lead the people from wandering in the desert to crossing and going into the promised land. And so that's all in chapter 1. And God tells him at the end, be strong and courageous. And then in chapter 2, Joshua sends in 2 spies into a city called Jericho. And so he sends these spies in, and this is what verse 2 says, they went to this prostitute's house. And I go, okay, I paused there. I was like, first thing you tell us is they went to the prostitute's house. So I like to just believe the best in people. And I feel like this was just divine placement. These men were just going in there because that's where the first place they were supposed to go. So they go in there, and the prostitute's name is Rahab. And so Rahab takes them in, and she talks to them for just a second, and then she sends them to the roof. She says, go to the roof, go up. So a few minutes later, that she gets a knock at her door, and it's the police or whatever, and they come in and say, hey, we heard the spies were here. And she says, I sent them out. And so if you go now, you can catch them. So they go away, and she goes to the roof to tell the guys, you know, they're looking for you. And she goes to the roof, and she's up there talking to them. And she has 2 kind of different conversations with these men. The first one is, hey, I've heard of your God. I've heard of your people, and I've heard about what your God does for your people, and I know some stuff. And so she kind of already knows what's going on. And then the next part is she says, you're going to destroy our city, and when you do, will you please rescue my people, save my family? That's what she says. And so the spies and Rahab, they make this deal, and she puts a red cord, a rope, outside of her window so that when they come back to destroy the city, they can identify where she lives and rescue her family. That's the plan. So she says, will you do it? They make this oath, take this agreement, and they say, yep, life for a life, get us out of here alive, and we'll take care of you. So that's how they leave it. The spies leave a little bit later, and now we're in chapter 3, and Joshua leads the people across the Jordan and into Canaan. And they make a marker, in chapter 4, they make a marker with 12 stones and to remember what God had done. And then in chapter 5, they circumcise all the men who were not. And then the manna stops, and they have to start learning how to eat the produce of Canaan. And then they're told by an angel to take Jericho. Now we're in chapter 6, and the plan is explained from Joshua to the people and the soldiers, like what's gonna happen, here's what we're gonna do. And this is the part of the story where they come in and they're gonna march around the wall, you know, and then they're gonna go around 7 times on the 7th day, and then everybody shouts and screams and the walls are gonna fall down. That's a super fun story to tell in children's ministry. You guys are not as fun. Because when you do it, the children, everybody march, let's go! Then you know, everybody shout, everybody let me hear you shout. Sufficiently average. The children are so much louder. No, just kidding. Good shouting. Okay, so I love telling that story in kids' ministry. It's so fun. So then this is chapter 6 and verse 17. Joshua stands and he says, oh, but one more thing. Before we go, you guys need to know this. And he tells them the red cord. This is Rahab. Rahab is to come out alive in her family. He tells them kind of what's going on. So then it comes to verse 22. And this is what the Bible says. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house, bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside of the camp of Israel. And then in verse 25, Joshua spared, this is then 24, the whole city burns down. Then 25, Joshua spares Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belong to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent in as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites today. And this, to me, is an amazing story of redemption, and this in its own right is a wonderful story to tell. I love the Old Testament. I love all of these things. Rahab was a prostitute. And I think a lot of times, you know, I've done children's ministry so long, and just a really common question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And pretty much over, you know, all of these years, what, 25 years or whatever of doing children's ministry, never had a little girl say, when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. Like, nobody says that, right? That's not a job dream, right? So you know that the only reason why she's a prostitute is because she is a desperate woman. She is a desperate person. She is hopeless. There's nothing else for her to do to provide for her children. I don't know. It's easy to judge. But to think of that, at the end of the story, the Bible says that she lives among the Israelites to this day. The Israelites took her in and they put her in their family. I want to believe that she became a believer, a God follower. I believe that because she'd already said that she'd heard of God and all of his marvelous and amazing works, she was amazed by the stories long before she even lived there among those people. It seems right there that that's the end of the story of Rahab, because there's nothing else in Joshua about Rahab. But that's not the end of the story. And this is the really good part. I love telling this part. Okay, because I found all this out when I was kind of researching this. So if you already know, be excited. Pretend like you didn't, okay? Because I'm gonna tell you all this. Okay, so it seems like that's the end of the story, but I want to remind you of what's the rest of the story of Rahab, because over these years of doing life with you guys and the women specifically, and I've been listening to you and I'm hearing your stories that you're telling me, and so many of us have a before Jesus story. It's our prostitute story. Sometimes your prostitute stories that you have told me aren't even your story, but things that have happened to you. You've been a victim of some kind, or you've had a story of lost hope, waiting for a godly husband, waiting for God to heal your child, waiting for a good job because you're broke. You have no idea how you're going to keep a roof over your kid's head. And some of you have even told me stories of what's happening right now, and you're wondering if you can even go on as a Christian because you can't figure out how it's all going to be put together. I've had so many coffee talks and lunches and visits in my house and at your house, and I just keep hearing this repeating theme among so many women, and this is what it is. I didn't then, so I can't now, and I probably don't deserve it anyway. And that breaks my heart. So men, I want you to hear me today, because I want you to know how you can also encourage the women in your life. If you're not married, if you're married, whatever, not just wives, but there are women all around us everywhere we go, and you can encourage them and remind them of their value. And I want to really encourage you to do that today. And here's the good part about Rahab. Here's the rest of that story. Okay, so it's a lot of Bible, so I'm going to jump, but just get ready, because I'm ADD and so are you. Okay, so Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith, right? This is the book of the Bible where when you go in, it says, and by faith, Enoch, and by faith, Noah, and by faith, Moses, and by faith, Aaron. And then read on, all the way down to verse 31. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. She's in the hall of faith, which to me, right there, that alone, pretty awesome. I'd like to be in the hall of faith. I didn't really do anything good. I just get in trouble a lot. Okay, so hall of faith, she's there in the hall of faith. Okay, but I kind of think, I don't know, you know, I'm not a theologian, I really know. I like to dream a little, but I kind of think that she's not in the hall of faith just because she was a prostitute and obedient. I kind of think that there's another reason, and here's what I think it is. Okay, so fast forward all these years, and there's another book in the Bible called the Book of Ruth. If you haven't read it, it's a really great book to read, especially if you're a man and you want to know how to be an awesome man. And if you're a woman and you want to make sure that you look for an awesome man, because there's a guy in the book of Ruth named Boaz, and he's an awesome man. Okay, so Ruth and Naomi are, their husbands are dead, and Ruth is going to follow Naomi to a new land, and they're going into this new area. And the man, the where they end up is in this man's field. His name is Boaz, and he's a prince. Boaz is a prince, and he's out working in the field with the regular folk. It's pretty nice. Pretty good guy, huh? If he's out there hanging out with the lowly or whatever. He's a prince. So he's out there, and he sees Naomi and Ruth, and he finds out their story, and all this happens in the book of Ruth. And it just shows how awesome Boaz is throughout the whole book. And then in the book of Ruth, in chapter 4, verse 21, this is the heritage. This kind of tells us a little bit about Boaz. Okay, so Boaz has a dad. His name is Salmon. I did this like thing on my phone where I could check how to pronounce his name. It's S-A-L-M-O-N, and that's a fish. So I don't think it's salmon. But what I did, and I pressed that, I kept listening to it over and over, because it's Salmon, 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 Salmon. Okay, so Salmon, the father of Boaz. Okay, Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. And Jesse is the father of David. And we know David was King David, and David was in the lineage of Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so we know this. All right, now here's the end of the story. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to read it. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab the prostitute. Right there in chapter 5. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? So whose mama was Boaz? Rahab the prostitute. Rahab gave birth to a man who became the prince, and through her faith and through her redemption story, she was a woman in the bloodline of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So to me, that's probably more the reason why she was in the Hall of Faith. So I want to remind us of this story, because probably when Rahab was a prostitute, she'd never imagined that she was going to marry a man named Salmon and give birth to a boy who would become a world changer. She didn't know who she was then. She knows now. Do you know who you are? You are a daughter of the Most High God. You are a child of the King. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. Stand up. Stand up and be strong, and realize that you don't have to act poor, and you don't have to act all shrunk down and walk around like you are nothing. You are a child of the Most High. Everybody has bad days, and we all have moments when we feel like we're less than, but stop living in the past as a prostitute and begin to see yourself with the value that your heavenly Father sees in you. You are no longer in Jericho. Jericho's gone. It's completely destroyed. Your past mistakes are over. Your King Daddy has forgiven you, and you are redeemed, and you are not a victim. Stand up straight and tall. Hold your head up high, daughters of the King. Blood is flowing through your veins. That is right. That is good. That is Rahab. Ooh, that's awesome. I try to remind myself. I don't do a good job, but I try to remind myself every day. It's not who you are. It's whose you are, right? Okay. Oh, okay. So here's the next one. Do you realize what Rahab had to do? Now, I want to say this to the women who are young and starting out in your faith, starting out with your children. I want you to think about this for a minute. When you go through this story, you're going to see something that Rahab had to do that few of us are willing to do. Rahab had to wait. I went through the whole story because of this point right here. Her story starts one evening when some spies drop in, and then it's years later when they come back and rescue her. In Joshua chapter 3, they set up the they cross over. So all that time it took them to cross over into Canaan. And then Joshua chapter 4, they set up the little thing, and every tribe has to bring in a stone for 12 stones, and then they have the celebration. So that takes a little bit of time. And then chapter 5, all the men that were born in captivity have to be circumcised, and that's a lot of men, and that took a long recovery time. took a long time for them to recover. So, and then after that, now all the manna stops, the quail stops, and these women and men, these people have never cooked, right? Because they just have been provided for. Now they got to figure out how to redeem all the blessings and bring them in, and they have to figure out how to cook. And the Bible actually says that took 1 year. So imagine all of the time that this has taken from the moment that Rahab has this interaction with the spies until they come. And then finally, they make it to Jericho, and finally they rescue Rahab, and finally the walls fall, and her family is rescued. And so do you see what you need to do? You have to wait, and you have to endure. God made us strong women. We are strong as mamas and women. We have to fight the good fight of faith and remember that God has a promise for you. He has a promise to me and you. And there are so many times that I hear women tell me they're just tired and they're weary and they want to give up and they want to stop waiting. And they jump out of their circumstances and into a mess. Some kind of nasty thing that they didn't anticipate. They didn't pay attention. They just got in a boat and started floating and end up someplace they didn't want to be. I want to ask you to wait. Wait. I can tell you that I've heard from so many women that have wished that they had waited to be rescued. Instead, they went ahead and they married a guy they shouldn't have married. Their Holy Spirit told them in their gut and they didn't obey. Instead, some women have walked away from their families instead of sticking in and waiting. Some have quit their job that they were making a difference in because something irritated them. Instead, you want to give up on a son or a daughter who isn't doing what you've expected them to do? Your child has died. Your marriage is over. God hasn't given you your husband. You still haven't landed that perfect job, and you're really tired of waiting. And you want to run out of your Jericho and take matters into your own hands. And I want to tell you to stop. Joshua's army is on the way. Your promise is coming. Please endure and don't jump. And the last thing I want to tell you about Rahab is that she had her priorities straight. She knew what was important to her. So I really feel like that Rahab was a desperate woman. Because the first thing she says is, I've heard about your people. And then she says, remember my family and please rescue my family. She didn't ask for herself. She didn't say, rescue me. She said, remember my family. And so I want to ask you men, if you really realize that us women, pretty much all the time, what's in our head is you. What's in our head is our children, our parents, our siblings, our family. It's just always here. We're always thinking of that. And Rahab was always thinking of that. She was thinking about, what do I need to do? Because she obviously was she went into prostitution. Who does that? You do that if you're desperate. She was desperate to take care of her family. And then when she was rescued, her family got out. I believe that when she went back to the Israelites, she decided to become new. She took her family with her, and she was strong, and she was courageous. I believe she lost her desperate way of living and believed in the God of Israel. I don't believe for a minute that she sat around brooding about being a prostitute. Obviously, other people around her might not have forgotten, because they did write it down in Matthew chapter 1, which I'm a little glad, because then I knew. But she, other people didn't maybe forget, but she forgot. She put it behind her, and she focused on her family that she loved. She must have been a good mama to raise a good and kind and loving man like Boaz. He was a good man, but she didn't raise him alone. She raised him in the family, and her family was there. And we even have record of who his daddy was. He knew who his daddy was. Boaz had a deep responsibility toward family and loyalty, and he was a good man. I'm not a theologian or a psychologist. What are your priorities? I can promise you this, that if you will put your energies into your family and listen to those who are in front of you in life, some older ladies or people that have children that are older than yours, respect them. And then think of those people that are coming up behind you and train and teach those who are behind you, and take your role next to your husband or in your house and spend your time encouraging him, your children, your in-laws, your family, yourself. You are not less than when you take on the role of God's plan for your family. You're not less than. The world out there tells us that, you know, it's not so honoring to be a mom. It's not so honoring to be a wife. It's not so great to just be a good influence in your home. We don't get encouragement from outside the church, I don't think. I think that it's kind of always like a negative feeling if you say, well, I need to get home to take care of my kids, or I want to be there so I can teach them and train them, or whatever. You know, if you're single, you can take your role in the family of God and in your own house, and you're going to be better for it. If you will not forget those things, if you will forget the things in your past and the way that your parents treated you, the loss of a dream, gossip of people around you, the desperate things you might have done before you were rescued, stop living back there. Your family is waiting for you to stand up and be a strong influence in your home. You can look forward and begin a bloodline by producing world changers. And even if those world changers are not your biological children, you can be a world changer by training up spiritual children and invest in relationships, even here at Mountain West. You can share your remarkable story of redemption. It is remarkable. Women of God, if you still feel like a prostitute, stand up. Hold your head up high. You are a daughter of the King, and I want you to live like one. Endure, because your rescue is coming. Invest yourself and your wisdom into the next generation and make world changers of the people around you. Nobody remembers you're a prostitute except you. And if they do remember, it's just one more way that you can point them to the God who gave you a remarkable redemption story. Thank you all so much for encouraging me when I want to live out my prostitute story instead of my remarkable story of redemption. We're redeemed, girls. We're redeemed, and we're a child of the Most High God. Amen.